Woman of God. Woman of God. Let's say that together. Woman of God. Hallelujah. It's been said that a woman was named woman because when Adam saw Eve, he said, "Whoa, man." Certainly that's not biblical. But I thought it was worth the lead in. Amen? But biblical womanhood is the distinguishing character of a woman. Underline the word distinguishing. Biblical womanhood, not just any old kind of womanhood. Biblical womanhood is the distinguishing character of a woman as defined by God's Word in the Bible. God's Word in the Bible. Let's say that together. God's Word in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, the Word of God tells us that God created human beings in His own image. Isn't that amazing? Amen. In the image of God, He created them male and female. Male and female. You're either one or the other. Amen? I know you know what I mean. Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 concurs with Genesis chapter 1, 27. That when God created human beings, He made them to be like Himself. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. He created them to be male and female. And catch this now. And He blessed them. Amen. Aren't you glad to be a blessed woman of God? Amen. A blessed man of God? A blessed female, a blessed male. Amen? Amen? Just by virtue of the fact that you're created in God's image. Amen? Amen? Sometimes I lose sight of that. How about you? But make no mistake about it. When God created two distinct genders, He also instituted different roles for each gender. He designed the bodies and the brains of men and women to work differently. How many of you guys have noticed that your wife's brain works a little bit differently than yours? Anybody here lift an honest hand? Boy, she thinks differently than me. Boy, her brain is working differently than mine. Help me, Lord! Anybody ever pray a prayer like that? But God designed the bodies and brains of men and women to work differently, catch this now, to fulfill complementary roles. Amen?
Amen?
By God's creative design, a man can never be a woman. And a woman can never be a man.
Amen.
Because intrinsic in God's perfect creatorship, catch this now, He's made men and women with distinctive DNA. I would go so far as to say is that DNA is spiritual. Because I studied DNA when I was in school, studying through the health field. You want to prove that there's a creator God, go study a little bit of DNA. Just on a physiological level. And you see the awesome complexity and the unique expression of God and humankind through DNA. DNA, in my view, is spiritual. Amen?
Amen.
It's not just a bunch of protein twisted together in some random way.
Yeah.
Very unique, very specific. Amen?
Amen.
Intrinsic to God's perfect creatorship, He made men and women with distinctive DNA, catch this now, that irrevocably establishes anatomy and physiology. Catch that. Irrevocably.
That's right.
Establishes anatomy and physiology that makes a man and a woman a woman. Amen?
Amen.
God's creative design for man and woman is irrevocable.
That's right.
No matter what anybody thinks. Otherwise. And so no matter what a man has contrived in his mind about what his self-realized gender may be, in God's creative design, he is still a man.
That's right.
No matter what a man tries to do to be a woman, in God's creative design, he's still a man.
Amen.
And no matter what a woman has concocted in her mindset about what her self-realized gender may be, in God's creative design, she is still a woman.
That's right.
That's
right.
And no matter what a woman tries to do to be a man, in God's creative design, she's still a woman. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Now, beyond the distinctive anatomical and neurophysiological proofs of God's creatorship of man and woman, the pursuit of biblical womanhood begins in the same place that biblical manhood begins. Make no mistake about it. For any woman who desires to be a true woman of God, for any woman who desires to be a true woman of God, it begins with her being born again. That's where it starts.
That's right. Yeah.
God, by His Word and by His Spirit, affirms this to us afresh today. From John chapter 3, verse 3. John chapter 3, verse 3 tells us that unless you are born again, spiritually transformed and renewed in Christ, you will never experience the kingdom purposes of God in your life. That was Jesus decreeing that. Be reminded afresh today that apart from being born again in Christ, you could never be a true woman of God. Because being a true woman of God requires going beyond just professing Christ in your mind. It's got to go about 18 inches more. Being a true woman of God requires possessing Christ in your heart. And so a true woman of God yields to the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in her heart. A true woman of God yields to the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in her heart.
Yes.
A true woman of God doesn't just read the Word of God, but allows it to reshape her view of the life that God has appointed for her to live. Amen?
Amen.
A true woman of God maintains biblical truth and the application of biblical principles as the final guiding authority for her life.
Amen.
A true woman of God lets the Scriptures be the ultimate arbiter of how to live her life, guarding against trading off the truth of God's Word for some distorted worldly compromise, which we're seeing more and more of, even in the church, as disheartening as that is. God is saying, wake up, wake up, wake up, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is stirring to caution us afresh today that one common error in the consideration of biblical womanhood is to mix cultural expectation in with scriptural truth. We're seeing more and more of that today, more than ever. Pressuring women to conform to societal standards that are not in line with the priorities of a true woman of God. Seeing that more and more, especially with social media and how quickly information spreads. Make no mistake about it. The intermingling of worldly philosophies creates a potion of misdirection that leads to forfeiting the God-appointed calling upon a woman's life. Romans 12, verse 2, tells us from the Amplified transliteration, Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world any longer. Don't let yourself be conformed to the expectations of this world any longer with its superficial values and customs. But be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually. Are you maturing spiritually? By the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and attitudes, so that by that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is.
Amen.
That which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. Amen?
Amen.
Now, for some women, being a true woman of God may include a career. If you have a career, it doesn't preclude you from being a true woman of God.
That's right.
How many women here can say, thank the Lord for that?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Some women, being a true woman of God, may include a career in medicine, or a career in the construction field, or law enforcement, or whatever field that God has gifted them to serve in. Amen?
Amen.
If a woman has a career, it doesn't preclude her from being a true woman of God. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
But now for others, being a true woman of God includes the calling to be a stay-at-home mom. I read an article once that said, if you calculated everything that a stay-at-home mom does, and I don't know how they did this translation, but they did this translation that a stay-at-home mom would really be considered a household engineer, a domestic engineer.
Yep.
A domestic engineer.
Yeah.
Everybody say domestic engineer.
Domestic.
Stay-at-home moms are domestic engineers, right?
Yeah.
And they calculated that their salary should be $165,000 a year.
Yeah.
Woo! Come on, Daddy.
Yeah.
Give me some allowance. Think about it. It's not a lesser calling, moms. It's not a lesser calling. Feels like it sometimes, doesn't it?
Yes.
But for some women, being a true woman of God includes that calling to be a stay-at-home mom, raising children in the fulfillment of their God-given talents and giftings. There's no greater investment that a woman could make into a person than investing your life to the growth and development and fulfillment of the children that God has given you. Because guess what? They're God's kids first. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
God, by His Word, shed some further light on the characteristics of a true woman of God from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 4. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 4. That true beauty does not come from outward adornment, elaborate hairstyles, or the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. But rather, the true woman of God displays the unfading inner beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit.
Amen.
Which is of great worth in God's sight and how God sees you, woman of God.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
But make no mistake about it, the gentle and quiet spirit of a true woman of God doesn't mean that she's a weak pushover.
Yeah,
how many of you here husbands have experienced that with your wives? My wife is not a weak pushover. Amen. But catch this now. The true woman of God can stand her ground in biblical truth with a gentle and a quiet spirit. Standing her ground in biblical truth. Catch this now. Key point. Without being contentious, quarrelsome, cantankerous, or bad-tempered. Can anybody say a quiet amen? Amen. Amen. Peace of God settle upon our hearts. The true woman of God relies on the direction and the settling power of the Holy Spirit that is in her to settle her. Amen. That's a process. Everybody say it's a process. It's a process. I'm not who I was, but I'm not yet who I'm going to be. Amen. A true woman of God allows the Holy Spirit to temper and direct her responses in the heat of the moment, particularly according to the need of the moment, which is the fruit of a quiet and gentle spirit. Amen? One of my prayers every day is, Holy Spirit, help me to see what the heart of the issue is at hand. Because sometimes there's a cacophony of words flying around, right? Anybody ever been in that place where you're in a conversation with someone or something's going on and you're trying to figure out, oh, what's this all about? What's it about?
Right.
And you can find yourself spinning off on some tangent. But you have the Holy Spirit in you.
Amen.
Sometimes I lose sight of that in the moment. You have the Holy Spirit in you, the source of all truth, who will lead you in the truth. And all you have to do is say, Holy Spirit, show me what the heart of the issue is here.
Amen.
And the heart of the issue may have nothing to do with all the words that are flying around.
Amen.
Amen? And a true woman of God disciplines herself to allow the Holy Spirit to show her what the heart of the issue is, to temper and direct her responses according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is the fruit of a quiet and gentle spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Now, when it comes to the issue of external adornment, interestingly, I found this to be interesting, the best I can see in the Scriptures, the Bible does not provide similar instructions to men about that. I thought that was interesting. But I think it indicates one of the confirming distinctives between men and women in God's creative design. Now, don't misunderstand this to be a sexist remark. But generally speaking, women tend to be more focused on the outward appearance than most men do. Can anybody lift a hand of agreement with me and say, yeah? Where's your mother? Where's your mother? We're in the car here waiting. She was combing her hair. She was plucking her eyebrows. She was... What? Does she see what time it is? I repent. Any guys want to repent? For the times that you've fallen short of God's glory in the car, waiting for your wife, who's tending to her external adornment. For you. Amen. But maybe you would agree with me. I think generally speaking, women tend to be more focused on the outward appearance than most men do. And generally speaking, the physical beauty of a woman, I think, is more often exploited and more often cheapened and more often used for selfish ends than that of a man, wouldn't you say? And so catch this now. God has put a directive safeguard in place for women. To know that her real beauty is not found on the outside. But rather a true woman of God digs more deeply to find the reflection of God that He has placed inside of her. Blessed to be created in His image. Amen? Now don't misunderstand these verses from 1 Peter. These verses from 1 Peter are not meant to be an altogether denouncement of outward beauty or hygiene. But rather, catch this now, it's a redirection of focus. A redirection of focus. Are you focusing more on the external? Or are you focusing more on the internal? And I was reminded of a similar redirection of focus in 1 Timothy 4:8. Make a note of it. 1 Timothy 4:8. And the Apostle Paul's instruction. A similar redirection of focus. That physical training is of some value in this life. But spiritual training and godliness is of value in everything and in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. Amen?
Amen.
So it's just a redirection of focus. What are you focusing more on? The care of the physical frame and the outward appearance? Or the appearance of the inner man? And the framework of your inner man. Now, when it comes down to outer beauty in and of itself and on its own, outer beauty in and of itself and on its own, an attractive outer appearance quickly loses its appeal to those closest to a woman of poor character. But a woman who walks with God radiates the transforming beauty of the glory of God to everyone she meets. Amen?
Amen?
Now, for those that are married, biblical womanhood affects the dynamic of the husband-wife relationship. Anybody here notice that? Be reminded afresh today that the role of a true woman of God is different from her husband's role but certainly, certainly, certainly not inferior.
That's right. Amen.
And it's in accordance with biblical instruction from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 33. I'm not going to read all those verses. I'll leave that to you to peruse with God's Spirit at some point. But the biblical instruction from Ephesians 5, 21 to 33, husbands and wives, catch this now, are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so, woman of God, submit yourself to your own husband as you do to the Lord. For a husband is the head of the wife.
Amen.
Just as Christ is the head of the church. And just as the church submits to Christ, so you too, woman of God, should submit to your husband in everything. In everything? There's not a question mark after that, by the way. Now, for us guys, wouldn't it be great if the instruction stopped right there? Wouldn't that be great? Move to the next chapter. Move to the next subject. There you go, honey. Submit to me in everything. But wait, there's more. Picking up in verse 25. And so you husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Catch this now. With sacrificial love. That's how Christ loved the church. Sacrificial love. Now, I've come to recognize, and maybe some of you have come to recognize this as well, and if not, maybe you would just agree in theme, that when a godly husband is loving his wife the way Christ loves the church, then a woman of God has little difficulty in submitting to his God-appointed role as head of the household. Amen? Oh, man, I had a lot of work to do in that. Woo! I was riddled with authoritarianism and patriarchalism the day I got saved, and God has progressively freed me from it. Amen?
Amen.
Additionally, being a true woman of God may include the God-appointed responsibility of motherhood. Psalm 127, verse 3, reminds us that children are a gift from the Lord. Sometimes moms might wonder about that. Really, Lord? This one is a gift from you? Maybe this other one is, but I don't know about this one. Any moms here ever wrestle like that in your long, arduous days? But it's been said that children are God's gift to us. And catch this now. What we make of those children is our gift back to God.
Yes.
Proverbs 22:6 instructs us to train up a child in the way that they should go. Direct your children onto the right path, teaching them to seek God's wisdom and will for their abilities and for their God-given talents, so that even when they are old, they will not depart from it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 instructs fathers to raise their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And catch this now, with tender loving kindness. Don't exasperate your children, lest they lose heart. Don't provoke your children in your instruction and discipline of them, lest they lose heart. Lest they lose heart for you. Lest they lose heart for the Lord. Because you're the reflection of the Lord to them.
Amen.
Sobering instructions. But blessed if we follow through properly with it. Amen?
Amen.
Titus chapter 2, verse 4 instructs mothers to be trained in loving their children tenderly. Now, the Greek word for love in this verse is philotechnos. Philotechnos. Let's say that together. Philotechnos. It's a Greek word. And it means nurturing, affectionate kind of love. Nurturing, affectionate kind of love that a woman of God would lavish upon her children. Characterized, catch this now, by tenderly embracing and befriending each one of them as a unique gift from the hand of God. This philotechnos kind of love encompasses many aspects of biblical motherhood, including availability, including involvement, including teaching and training, including discipline. Let the spankings begin. Anybody here ever say that to the kids? All four of you are going to line up in the hallway. I'll be in the bedroom with the wooden spoon and let the spankings begin. How many of you are grateful that the spankings are the end point, right? Teach and train, teach and train, teach and train. But sometimes the spankings need to begin, amen, to reset. There's a reset button on each buttock muscle. One on the right and one on the left. And it does a good job of resetting. The Word of God says, if you spare the rod, you will lose the child. If you spare corporeal punishment when it's needed, you will lose the child. That's just what God's Word says. So, in our family, we just decided to do it God's way. Amen? No matter what the culture says about it. And so this philotechnos kind of love encompasses availability, involvement, teaching, training, discipline, nurture, and modeling with integrity. Kids are going to do what you do more than do what you say at some point. They're going to sound more and more like you as time goes on. Anybody here notice that? Philotechnos kind of love encompasses modeling with integrity by living out what you're teaching so that they catch the essence of godly living by your example. Amen?
Amen.
Most assuredly, not every woman of God will be a mother. But every woman of God who is a mother is directed by the Word of God to take seriously the responsibility of the unique and crucial role that you have been given by God to raise your children in the way that gives glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
Just as a mother bears a child during pregnancy and feeds and cares for a child during infancy, as a true woman of God, you have been ordained by God to play an ongoing role in the lives of your children. Whether they are adolescents, whether they are teenagers, whether they are young adults, whether they're still living in your house or not, even adult children who are on their own, it's inevitable that the woman of God's role as a mother changes and develops in different seasons of life. But the love and care and nurture and encouragement of a godly mother should be constant and dependable.
Amen.
Constant and dependable. Amen?
Amen?
A true woman of God can reveal God's glory in ways unique to her God-appointed female gender. Just as a true man of God can show forth the glory of God in ways that are distinctive to his God-appointed male gender. Amen?
Amen.
It's complementary. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But in this day and age, where gender identity has become a matter of distorted personal preference, it's critically important for us as professed, born-again, devoted followers of Jesus Christ to remain grounded in the truth of God's Word without mixture and without concession. Amen? God's creative design is irrevocable. He has designed men to reflect His glory through biblical manhood. And He has designed women to reflect other unique and distinctive aspects of His glory through biblical womanhood. Amen?
Amen.
And so, bottom line, when we all seek to honor Him in every part of our lives, whether male or female, we will find ourselves living harmoniously, fulfilling complementary roles. Amen? As we carry together the mission of propagating Jesus' kingdom purposes to reach others for Christ, bottom line, unto the salvation of souls, and to build up our brothers and sisters in Christ unto the glory of God until He comes again to bring the fullness of His reign on earth as it is in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
He's coming again. Will He find us in faith?
Amen.
When the Son of Man returns, will He find faith in the earth? When the Son of Man returns, will He find you in faith? Doing what He's appointed and ordained for you to do, right where you are. Amen?
Amen.
That's the bottom line goal for each of our lives. Oh, Lord God Almighty, I want to be found in faith.
Amen.
Whenever it is that You come. Amen?
Amen?
And so now we're going to take some closing moments to acknowledge and honor the women of God in our midst, who are moms.